Welcome to the Health Coach Nation podcast. My name is Haley Rowe, and I'm a sales and marketing coach and LinkedIn lead generation service provider. I work with health, life, and mindset coaches and online service-based business owners to help them get more sales, shift their time to the client-generating activities instead of just the busy work, and overcome that social media overwhelm. Let's get into the show. If you're ready to take on your next paying clients, I have good news. My free 4 Basics of Client Attraction and How to Stand Out class is live at haleyrowe.com/client-attraction. In the class, you're going to learn the top 2 traits I recommend for most coaches and entrepreneurs if they really want to turn this into a career. You're going to learn how you can build demand for your services and stop getting crickets on your posts. You're going to learn the sales roadmap I used to improve my sales conversion rate and help my clients do the same. And you're going to learn so much more. So go to haleyrowe.com/client-attraction and get your copy of the class today. Hey, today I'm here with Michael Hughes, and I'm very excited to talk about with him, what does it mean to be a great coach? Because he has a lot of experience in the wellness and fitness industry. He has a local brick and mortar. He has an online business. And so we're going to dive into what that really takes to be an awesome coach, because when you're an awesome coach, it's a lot easier to get more business, more referrals, and also just feel like very confident in what you do. So, Michael, why don't you share who you are, what you do, how you got into it, and we'll dig in.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that, Haley. I am a essentially, as the industry would call me, a personal trainer, but in reality, it's much deeper than that, much more complex than that, and much more, I would say, helpful than just that. Really blending the concepts of physical therapeutics with wellness and fitness. We call ourselves more movement coaches or movement therapists. And what this industry is kind of looking for is this, like, I have multiple problems. It's not just burning calories and losing weight. I mean, I wish that was as easy as it is, but it's not. There's emotional issues that come with that. There's physical limiting issues that come with that. Of course, there's lifestyle. So we need a coach who can understand the principles of what we call the physical, biological, and behavioral sciences and be able to come into that and also just be a really good person who can deliver it. We really believe that the golden rule, treat people how you want to be treated, is pretty awesome. But it's really the platinum rule that stands out in coaches, treat people how they want to be treated. So you have to be able to speak to them. So it all came down to the point where my quick story is I always knew I wanted to be someone who did something in movement since 7th grade, 8th grade. Truly, I knew that fitness helped change how I thought about myself. Very shy, stuttery kid, just in my own little shell. Fitness helped kind of essentially teach myself that I'm in control of myself. Like, it's me who's the best coach of myself. And it's really the mentors that we collect to direct ourselves. We always say in sales, no one sells you, you sell yourself. And so in that concept of understanding that, I knew that movement could do it to me. So I always wanted to be a physical therapist. Well, I realized pretty quickly going through school that I'm much more of a kinesthetic learner. In fact, most of us in movement are. So much to the point that, you know, sitting in a row of desks wasn't going to get me into grad school. Just wasn't going to make it happen. So I found alternative education, which I love about coaching at this point. It's a lot of it is alternative knowledge and kind of learning from an alternative source, not the institutional way of learning from, you know, essentially books that have been written down decades ago or college courses that are kind of very theory-based, not application-based, allowed me to convert it into what it is now, which is Gymnazo, is the name of my business, and Gymnazo EDU, which is the coaching business. And now we're having people across the world, happy to say, rethink how they coach people through movement.
Love that. So rethink how you coach people through movement. How should we be rethinking? What are some ways we can up-level our thinking when working with clients?
Yeah, I think I like to speak in analogies. And I think that the biggest thing is, like, I have a 4 and 6 year old boy and girl, and they're amazing. But I didn't really realize that they don't know how to do anything. Like, they didn't even know how to go to sleep. you know, and that's a big challenge for a parent in a sense, like, gosh, you know how to breathe, you know how to eat, but that's about it. And so like realizing like, why am I starting to teach my son, and I've been doing this for years now, to brush his teeth? I mean, he's going to lose those baby teeth, right? It doesn't really matter. He'll have some discomfort if he gets a cavity, but they're going to be gone. Why do we spend so much time prepping and maintaining our teeth and our gums, but we don't do our muscles or our joints and our connective tissue? So it's like, wait a minute, is what's more important? Well, they're both really important. So why don't I teach my son and my daughter to do basic stretching or mobility movements, to teach them to get stronger in multiple different patterns versus just the traditional patterns that our gyms, quote unquote, teach us now? Is not our body just as important to have diversity of possibility? And that's kind of what really what we kind of teach, is that to be aware that the way we think fitness is, no, that's just physique building. Nothing wrong with that, but let's not couch fitness with physique training. It's so much broader than that. And therefore, when my grandparents had to live their last few lives, not really very mobile, unfortunately, and I wouldn't say it from my perspective, that was a quality of life they had for the last 25 years of their life. Well, if I'm kind of barely past my first quarter part of my life, and I'd really like that portion to be exceptionally positive, but it all becomes to awareness of what your body can do. And I think you'd be surprised of the sports that we play on the field should match the way that we train in the gym.
Love it. Okay. Yeah. So we want to be what you call multidimensional coaches and professionals. And I think there's a big wave of coaches who are calling themselves holistic and do incorporate, like, let's find the root cause, that kind of thing. So how, what are some ways we can be more multidimensional with our clients in our sessions and when looking at their issues with their health or fitness, things like that? What might be some examples of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. We think about everyone walks through the door, whether it be, you know, for whatever reason, they're walking through or at least a fitness door because they want to change something and they're trying to go about it through physical change. Well, in reality, the physical change has really nothing to do with why they're there. It's an emotional, it's a behavioral, even a spiritual reason why they're there. They're just trying to manifest that through movement. And what a great way to do it, to be honest with you. So if we don't really connect that they're there for a much deeper reason, that is essentially the cause, they're just trying to produce an effect. And that's the same principle that goes through knee pain, lower back pain. It's not the lower back's fault. It's not the knee's fault. It's not them being overweight that's at fault. Don't try to just change their weight. I mean, that's a good place to start. There's no question. But work your way into the deeper reason why. Now you're saying, well, I'm not a psychologist. Well, you don't necessarily have to be a psychologist. You have to be a caring person who knows their limits from education, certainly, but to never give up on, let me understand more. Because as a true coach, right, we're not necessarily telling them to do anything. We're having them create their own decisions. We're just simply asking questions. To us, that's what a great coach is. Never shy away from asking why. And just be quiet.
Yeah.
And then take that answer and from our perspective, from movement, go deeper. And I think you'll find you're very effective as a coach.
I love that. Yeah, I just did, as a coach, I do a lot of certifications. I used to do several, and then I just recently got a new one. And if anybody listening is interested in like what cert to take, I can always give you my feedback on what I loved and all that kind of stuff. But anyways, one of the things we talk about is asking solution-oriented questions and how you don't want to just surface level say, okay, you want to do this goal, great. You want to open up like, well, why? Or instead of asking your client, okay, so are you going to do this week? Are you going to get this done? It's more so, how can we make it easier to get this done this week? Like, So you really want to be solution oriented. And where a lot of our brains go as humans and where your clients' brains will go is, well, the reasons why it's going to be hard, why it's not going to work, why they don't have time. And just basically, we ask a lot of questions to ourselves that aren't solution oriented, like, why am I such a loser at this? Why can't I get this right? Why can't I stick with this? So any suggestions on how do we help our clients with the consistency and application component, right? Because as coaches, sometimes, we want them to get results, but sometimes what happens is life, quote unquote, gets in the way. So what are some of your favorite ways to stay consistent, help your clients be consistent, things like that?
Yeah, I just want to first say that, like, that's exactly what the most important thing about changing a lifestyle. It's consistency that's king and queen, not intensity. Intensity is a good way, but it's not the long way. So we have our principle is we must find success at all costs. We don't care what they can't do. They can tell us that. We need to find my job is to find out what they can do. And it's really having assessments that allow you to break down the big chunk into smaller pieces. Now, from a movement coach, that's what we do. We have a movement assessment. And the way that I would ask for you, for anyone who's not a movement coach, but a coach of any other things, that you have to be able to say, what are the pieces to the part? And if you can really say, if it's food, whether it's lifestyle, whether it be stress, okay, well, you have to go down, what's the domino effect? And the goal is to get as close to that first domino as you can, or at least work your way down there. So it's really a thought process of really understanding this plus this equals that. Well, they can't do that. Well, what if they can do this? No, they can't do that. All right, well, break down the equation. I know that's a broad statement, but I'm trying to speak to as many coaches as possible. The more you can reverse engineer it, the more you have the tools to say, okay, that didn't work. That's okay. I got 27 other things to go after because I know the equation that gets them there. So really think about it, of what are the domino effects that get them to where they aren't. They can't do that. Break down and find that one piece, just that one piece. And just like anything else, you're trying to, undo a sticker off the side of a wall. I do that a lot of times, like you start at the edge, start at the easiest point.
Yeah. And one thing I hear a lot from people is they'll say, oh, well, that one step, that's not going to do anything, or it's not going to be enough to matter. But then meanwhile, they're never getting started, or they're all or nothing. And then they keep starting and stopping and starting and stopping. And so I think the other thing to keep in mind too, and I hear this also, like I hear a lot of people say to me, well, I want to start coaching with you, but when I do, I need to have my schedule completely clear. I need to be able to go all in. I'm like,
no,
whoa, no. Hold on. This is supposed to work with your life currently.
Yeah. People say, I need to get fit before I work with you. No.
Yes.
We'll get you there.
Exactly. You there. Exactly. Yeah. And so I think they're worried if I take a step, that's not going to be enough or whatever. But the point is, you're not already doing it. And so how do you respond to that? Because I have my own ways, but I'm curious, how do you see that or how do you respond to that?
From a movement perspective, I think what I like about the human body, it's all connected. What works for me is going to work for a mental coach or for a nutritional coach in principle. And so let's say you start with success is you have to make it fun. It's got to be. If it's boring, good luck, right? There's a certain set of the population that will do boring stuff. Got to make it fun, but you have to make it applicable. And what I love about how we move, if you go to the traditional gym right now and you sit down, you do a little leg extension machine, it's pretty boring. And in fact, it's not applicable unless you literally have a kid you're sitting on a couch and doing that with your, that's really applicability in a sense, or application. So you have to find the way that makes it part of their day to day. So if we're having someone who has tight glutes, we have to create a stretch. That's not in any book. It's part of their daily routine. And we use the word habit stacking. You're already doing this, brushing your teeth as an example. Stretch out your calves as you brush your teeth. There's really no argument. I mean, they may just not want to do it, which is understandable. And then also the fun piece, playing music is a big deal. We have a lot of homework. I don't like that word, but home exercise programs is the technical term. If we're asking you to do a warm-up sequence, put some music on. Make it dance friendly, or make it applicable because they like salsa music or they like swing dancing. And I think that's a big play of it all. And then also, we like to always do as much to really attach to how the person likes to learn. So traditional physical therapy, for example, they kind of give you stick figures, black and white printout. It's not very exciting. So we're going to videotape it. We're going to digitally record it. So you hear our voice, you hear our tone, you see our face, it's on your phone. And then we provide a journaling, right? Remember, most people hire coaches, not because they can't do it. They need the accountability. They can do it. They need the accountability. So providing accountability steps, saying, hey, when you go home, I need you to say check mark, because I'm going to be looking for it. So yeah. Making it fun, making it applicable, and accountability. That's the
amazing. Make it fun, applicable, accountability. And when you say make it fun, one thing I'm sure you're familiar with is the book Atomic Habits, because they talk a lot about habit stacking. And that's a great book. I'll have to remember to put that in the show notes, but it's a great book. And one of the things that they talk about is how can you gamify your habits, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, our brains don't like when we do something and we don't get the immediate reward. So we need visually to see something exciting that, or like, wow, I get to check something off, or I get to, I call it like, I get to put a bead in my jar and you gather all the beads and you get to see the progress. So is there any examples or other ways that you make things fun for clients or even yourself with habits?
Yeah, that's a great point. We're a big fan, you know, and we're kind of like, here we are, we're both inside, we're on a computer, on a screen, you know, this is very life as normal. So as much as we say you come to Gymnasio to be good, not inside of Gymnasio, to be good outside of Gymnasio. That's all we care about. I don't care how good you are in here. So go outside. I think that's one of the biggest things. It's very simple, right? We're always saying, what's accessible to everyone for the most part? 99% of people. Go outside, you know, and do something outside. Feel that kind of freshness of it. And what's also very interesting about really, truly fitness is not a quick fix scheme. You know, it's almost the opposite. But when you really have a dialed in of strategy and it's about movement pain, you can actually feel results immediately. And so to make it fun, to make these things successful, right? Because results is truly one of the biggest drivers. If you go after the symptom, you're probably not going to feel the result that quickly. But if you go after the cause, then you start to shut down that cause and it immediately feeds that next step, or at least that next joint. And to feel your hips have more mobility when you walk from your kitchen counter to the front door, when Stella gets that groove back, you feel it.
Yeah.
And that's a big, big deal. So
huge. Yeah. It's cool how quickly you can start to feel better when you make some changes to your wellness habits. Like I think working out, even though you don't leave and you see abs in the mirror, whatever, the first time you leave and you feel the endorphins, you feel less stress, you feel better for the rest of your day, more energy. Yeah. You feel like you conquered something.
Yes, and exactly. You accomplished something, right? Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes the work is the reward. Like, wow, I did that. I got that done. Like to me, that is a reward, right?
Yeah.
So I love the tips you're saying here. And when you're saying like, make it, enforce some accountability, I find that people are different in that some people have a lot of inner accountability. Like they want to do something because they have a big why, like you said, internally that they want to achieve. And sometimes other people are more extrinsically motivated and they want to do something because their friends are doing it or they made an appointment with someone, so they have to show up. So I'm curious, just what are some things we should know about helping clients with accountability and keep in mind and not just be like, okay, did you do your homework? Like, cool. You know what I mean? Is there any other things we should think about?
And so just to touch on that last point you just made, like we don't ask them did you do your homework? You know, we our first question to them is like, tell me what you did since the last time that we saw each other. Open-ended conversation. You know, it's a no, we don't want to start a session with a no. Trust me, my kids don't like to hear no. It's my goal to never say no. Now the end result may be no, but how I say it needs to keep them enthused about the reason why. So tell me what you did. Very positive in a sense. You know, I didn't do that much. Oh, but you did something. Oh, I did something. Okay. Let's break off those wins a little bit. So that's kind of the things, like, we always want to do our very best to know that they're trying and that there is hope. If our job as a coach is to sell hope, that's really what we sell. And then we have to come through with the results. So that particular piece is really keep it positive, really keep it focused on what they can do. And I'm sorry, and I hate to do this during interviews, but I forgot the first part of your question because I'm so excited about the second part. Can you re-ask the first part?
Yeah. Please? No, it's just about how do we enforce accountability.
There you go. Enforce accountability. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. So I think it's also enforcing accountability comes down to enforcing the right thing. For us, we have a client who comes in overweight. We don't care about their overweightness. We want them to make sure that they show up. So everything that comes with our gym is appointment-based. You can't just show up. When was the last time you missed your hair appointment? You will move earth for most people to get your hair appointment. Why? Well, not because it's your hair, it's very important, but it's because it's an appointment. You will let down yourself 1,000 times before you let down someone else. So we do our very best to never have us be let down. Again, we're playing off the problem that already got them there. I mean, right? If you think about it, think how they got them there. Well, they had some successes, right? They were the wrong successes, but they were still successes. So it really comes to the individual point. Really break down what their real problem is and play off those problems, but play those problems upon themselves. I know that's a broad answer.
Mm-hmm. No, I love it. I love it. Yeah. I mean, and there's no one size fits all either. It's going to be different based on the client. Is there anything you've seen just from starting a local business and an online business that has been a big either mistake or aha moment you had as an entrepreneur in this field that you'd want to share with somebody?
Yeah, thank you. If you start an online business and decide to go to brick and mortar, if you have a brick and mortar business, you decide to go online, you have to have this realization: they're not the same. And the process that got you to do one is not the process that will get you to do the other. That's unfortunate. It really is. It's two separate different ways of doing business. Now, I firmly believe 80% of all businesses are the same, and that's true. But the 20% of application is significantly different. Word of mouth is so important in a brick and mortar town type business. So is online. But the spread of online word of mouth is significantly slower because there's so much more word of mouth. Trying to spread your word on Instagram organically, very possible, extremely possible. But your timeline needs to get doubled, tripled, 10x'd, unfortunately. So I think the most important thing, and we always say this, and we try to fulfill it within our own self. If you're an entrepreneur, hire a coach. Of course, I'm a coach, and hey, you're a coach. I'm not trying to, you know, preach our own side here. But if you want to get somewhere, you can connect. You can go authentically. You really can. Organically, you can. But if you want to get there faster, hire someone that's already been there. Because they've learned, success leaves breadcrumbs. That's a Tony Robbins quote. You know, success leaves breadcrumbs. So entrepreneur simply means you have a thirst for excitement and risk, and you want to do something that hasn't been created. So, okay, great. So most digital companies, again, have 80% the same. So look into that piece. I really mean that. I know it's a short answer, but they're not the same. Focus on who's been there, hire a coach, and realize that success is essentially a kind of a mixture of knowledge and speed online space.
Yeah, success is a mixture of knowledge and speed. I love that. That's an amazing quote to end it on here. And how can people connect with you, find you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, thanks. If you want to connect with me and from a personal level, Instagram's probably the best way. 3D_athlete is my handle there. If you want to understand from a coaching and a movement perspective for yourself personally, got some aches and pains, gymnazo.com. That's G-Y-M-N-A-Z-O.com. If you're a movement coach yourself and you want to do and really jump into a next level of truly being that gold standard of coach, I really mean that, in the movement space, gymnazo.edu. And they're all on Instagram. We got some YouTube videos and podcasts, all that good stuff.
But, amazing. Those are the ways. Yeah. Yes. Awesome. And I can tell you have really good posture. So for anybody who's listening to the audio, he probably knows his stuff because you can't see it, but he's sitting up perfectly straight and his shoulders are even and all of that. So great. Great job. Whatever you're doing. All right. Well, thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ellie. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast. And if it's really helpful for you, I'd really appreciate if you share it and or leave a written podcast review. This tells the podcast sites that our show is useful and it will be promoted to more people that way. Thanks again.